Christian, but his images and stories and teachings and followers have girdled the globe, presenting a message of a Savior who sacrifices himself out of love. And to most, this is compellingly beautiful. And then there's the church. If you've grown up in a church, you have some reasons to be disillusioned. The church seems like a boring topic for most, and for many, a duty reluctantly fulfilled. In stark contrast with many of the unforgettable sayings of Jesus, we can't remember what we heard in most sermons 10 minutes after we get home. Thanks. People around the world aren't interested in our church. For that matter, people around the corner often aren't either. We can understand why. Churches say they have the best and most important news in the world. They have the answer to our problems. They are God's embassies on earth. Yet churches are made up of people like you and me, people who are grumpy, irritable, unfaithful, and selfish. We become too possessive of small things and too casual about great things. We become too defensive for ourselves and ignore God. We talk of love, but we often give ourselves over to hate, even in church. And all of this causes many people to give up on church or ignore it altogether. But you know, experience is often a bad guide. Appearances aren't always what they seem, and feelings betray us. At the end of the day, what matters is not what you or I think about the church, but what God has said in His Word about the church. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to be a champion for the church, and I'm going to be a champion for this little church. I'm going to say that being involved in a local church, as a member of a local church, is not only biblical, but it's crucial to faith in Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, glorious thing. And this morning, I just want to answer a simple question. What is the and a church? What is it? So the first thing this morning I want to say to you then is this. The church is all people who are followers of Jesus Christ. And when I say all, I mean all. I mean every person who has ever lived, who is living right now, or who will ever live, who follows Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is the church. Every person who has repented of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ, that is the church. No matter where they lived, no matter when they lived, they followed Jesus. That is the church. Think big C, big church. Think church with a capital C, universal church. That's the church I'm talking about. You can see this in verses like the one in Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul tells husbands, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." He's not talking about just our church or Temple Baptist Church or First United Methodist Church, but every person who has ever been saved, Jesus gave himself up for her and loved her. This is how Jesus used the word in Matthew chapter 16 when he said, "On this confession of Peter's, I will build my church." None of those verses are talking about one church in particular. They're talking about all the people of God. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because the church or the Bible tells us that. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. You'll see it again there where he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her." Now, who is he sanctifying? It's the church. And why is he doing that? To make her holy or devoted to him. Now, are those who are lost and do not know Jesus Christ, are they devoted to God? No. Are atheists devoted to God? No. Are Muslims? Well, not to Jesus, not to the one true God that we understand from the Bible. Those are not devoted to this God. So this person or this church that the Bible's talking about here that Jesus loved and gave himself up for that he might make her holy or godly, that's the church. Notice what he also says there, that he cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Cleansed of what? Well, if you get it cleansed, right, you were dirty with something, so he's been cleansed. What have you been cleansed of? Well, cleansed of sin. Cleansed of sin. So he's talking about saved people. Not just every person, not all the people of the world. No, he's talking about the church there. And why does he do this? Look at verse 27. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, wrinkle, any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's talking about the very end, judgment day, all is said and done, standing before God. God says, I'm going to present her, this church, to myself, without anything wrong with her, finally, in one day. Now, that's not all the people in the world. That is just a select group of people, the church, those who are followers of Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians 5:30 and other places that the church is the body of Christ and Jesus is the head. So we are united to Him by faith, just like my head is united to my body. And if it wasn't, then I am no longer alive, I hope. That would be weird. Some horror movie. No, we are united by faith with our head, the head, Jesus Christ, and we are the body. So if the church is the body, you see how that works. We are those who are united with Him and connected with Him. And only those who are the church, only those who are followers of Jesus are those people. So again, I hope this is all clear to you. The church is every, the, think again, the church, the capital C church is every person who has ever been saved and ever will be saved. So here's a question for you. What makes you a part of the church? Is it your birth? Are you born into the church? Is it membership? Do you just kind of join the church? Is it attendance? You just kind of show up to some local church like this one and you kind of get just drafted in. You kind of just soak into it. Are you baptized into the church? You just kind of get dunked into the water and voila, now you're a part of the church. This church, the church. What makes you part of the church? Well, just what I said last week, just what I've said already. You respond to Jesus by turning from yourself and your sin and you trust Jesus with all of your life. Made me think about this when I was reading this book by Jack London. I picked it back up this week called The Call of the Wild. You've heard of The Call of the Wild. You probably had to read it when you were in school. Picked it back up the other day. Short, it's adventurous. It tells the story of a 150-pound big dog that's kidnapped from a rich owner in Sacramento area and sold as a slave dog during the gold rush of the Klondikes, late 1800s. You know, there's gold in them hills and everybody's running up to Canada and Alaska and trying to find gold. So Buck, that's his name, he's kidnapped and he's sold into slavery. And the story is how he went from a domesticated dog to a really nice family and a loving family and a tame and environment and everything's controlled to a sled dog surviving the harsh winter life and then the dog of another beloved master all the way to this wild killing machine. I mean, he's killing Indians. He's killing humans. He kills a moose. He kills other dogs. Finally, he joins a wolf pack at the end. All through it, his wild side was calling him, and he took a walk on the wild side, you could say. In fact, one thing you notice about Buck, he just refuses to be a normal dog in the pack. He has to be the alpha male, the leader of the pack. What I think Jack London was doing was telling a good story, but not only that, he was also telling us that we all have a wild side, and if we're not careful, or perhaps if we're lucky, then we will unleash the beast in all of us. I don't think it's ironic, or maybe it is ironic, that the name of the hero is Buck. And what do you do with authority when you don't like it and you want to be in charge? You do what to it? You buck the authority. Jack London was an atheist, by the way. Well, I do think London is right about some of that. We all do have a wild side to us that if left unchecked and unleashed can get out of hand. But you know, here's the thing. A Christian is nothing more than a person who has recognized that they have a wild side. And that wild side has hurt themselves. It hurts other people at times. And it has dishonored God. And what they want is Jesus to come along and tame the wild side. So they turn to Him for His forgiveness. And they ask Him to be the leader of the pack. That's what following Jesus is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. It's about those who have heard the call of the wild. And they have answered it at some point. And they saw it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Saw that it hurt God. Saw that it hurt themselves. Saw that it hurt others. And now they have given themselves over to Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Have you done that today? Have you ever done that Listen, Jesus died for you. He gave His life for you so that you could be forgiven. And if you have found that your wild side is not good and you being in charge, the leader of the pack, the sled dog that's in charge, that that's not good. And look, that's all the wild side is. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how good you have been. I don't care if your sin is just like torturing your siblings or you are smuggling drugs into the country. It's all the wild side when God is not at the center of it and leading us through it, okay? That's the wild side. And every person has it. And if you found out that that side of life without Him is a dead end, then you will find that Jesus is a wonderful Savior, a great Lord, and you can be a part of His people, the church. And if you haven't done that, then I'm going to ask you to take a walk away from your wild side and find Jesus Christ and the life that He will give you. You may ask the question, what does that have to do with Bethel Baptist Church? Well, that's the thing here. Here's the thing. The big church, capital C, big church, is made up of a lot of little churches, small c. So the second thing I want you to hear this morning is that a church is a specific gathered group of people who are followers of Jesus. Now we got the church, but now I'm talking about a church. And sometimes, in fact, most of the time, when you see this word church in the Bible, it's referring to a local church. So when you read about the church at Corinth or the church at Ephesus, that's what it's talking about. It's a local church. Those seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 were local churches. Or like in Matthew 18, when Jesus says, if you got someone and they are in unrepentant sin and they will not turn from that sin, then you should tell the church. Well, He can't mean the church everywhere all over the world. So if we were to discover, you know, that Jonathan King here is setting up a drug cartel out of his home and has got half the politicians in the area under his payroll and is peddling drugs everywhere, then he's not telling us, Jesus is not saying, you need to call up the church at Kenya, the churches in Russia, and the churches in Bolivia, and the churches all over the world, and tell them what Jonathan is doing. No, He's saying, you tell it to your church, your little church, and let them deal with that. And they should deal with that. So this is what we're talking about when we're talking about, that's a local church, it's a little c. And that little church is a specific group of people who have chosen to gather together regularly. In fact, the word church means to gather, literally. That's what it is. That's the dictionary definition of the word church in the Bible. It means assembling or gathering, which is why we often call a little church or a big church a congregation, because to congregate is to gather. So we, Bethel Baptist Church, is composed of people who have chosen to assemble or gather together as a team, a unit, a family, a smaller body from among the larger body of the believers in the world. And why do we do that? Why do we gather together? We do it to help each other follow Jesus better. We do it because we're banding together to help other people who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus, because we understand that when we do this together, we're more effective at doing that. That's the function and mission of a church. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So you can see it right there in that verse, can't you? Our mission is to convert people to Jesus Christ and then to teach all of those people what it means to follow Him. We help each other do that. That's all it is. So here's a question for you. What makes you a part of this church or a church? You see how I worded that, didn't you? So I asked you earlier, what makes you a part of the church? Now I'm asking you, what makes you a part of this church? And the answer might surprise you. Because with this question, baptism, membership, and attendance actually do have something to do with it. Attending a church or being baptized in water or joining a church does not save you from your sins or make you a part of the church. What I talked about in the first point, you are saved by turning from your sin, trusting Jesus as your Savior. But you do become a part of this church by being here, being baptized, and joining. Now, of course, you can attend and not join. We have plenty of of little ones that do that. We have other visitors who do that. But to actually be an official member of this church, you must be baptized if you haven't, and then you actually join. And you may ask the question, well, why do we do that? Why do we have to be baptized? Well, we're a Baptist church. And it does have something to do with that. Because here's the thing. There are lots of other churches in the world. And they baptize babies, for example, like Presbyterians. And they have their reasons. And while we may agree with most Presbyterians about the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus, we disagree on baptism. Because we believe that only those who have professed faith in Christ should be baptized. We believe that because in the New Testament, the only people we see being baptized are those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We believe that because of verses like this one, Acts 2:41. So those who received His word, the gospel Peter was preaching, were baptized. So you see, only those who received the message by faith were baptized. We're thinking about verses like Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul had this to say, "What shall we say then to the good news of Jesus, that we are forgiven of our sins freely, not by earning it? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." What does all that mean? It just means this. When a person was lost, they were alive to sin and dead to God. And then they got saved. They became dead to sin and alive to Jesus. Baptism pictures that. So we understand that to be what happens to every person who comes to faith in Christ. The old person is baptized, they die, and the new person has risen, and they walk in the newness of life now. That doesn't mean we don't sin. What it does mean is that sin has been dealt a decisive blow, and it's terminal. It's dying in us. It may be slow or quick, depending on the type and who it is, but it's dying. Our sin nature is like a wealthy heiress who has lived wildly. I think of someone maybe in celebrity or news or someone, and they have just lived out of control, and the money gets cut off. What's going to happen, right? That's kind of the way our sin nature is. So baptism pictures that. Baptism is a way then when we baptize someone to say that you are now a part of Team Jesus. So think about it this way. When you try out for a team and you make a team, what do you get? You get a jersey. And you're out there playing on the court. And how do we know you're on our team? Well, you're wearing a jersey. So you're running around and you've got the same color jersey as your teammates, and you have a different color than the other. So if you are throwing the ball to your team and you are helping your team, you're on that team. Well, when we baptize someone, what we're saying is that this person is now on Team Jesus. They are playing on this team for Jesus Christ. They used to play on the other team, but now they're on this team. It's a way to mark them off and clarify for them and for everybody else that we recognize now this person is playing for the kingdom of God, Team Jesus. And He's doing that for us at Bethel Baptist Church. So I hope you get the point of what I'm trying to make here. The big church, Big C, is made up of all followers of Christ. And to join that group, you need to be saved. You need to be born again, turn from your sin, follow Jesus, trust Him, have Him as your Savior and Lord. The little church, like Bethel, is a local gathering of those followers. And to join this little church, you must profess faith in Jesus. You must say that you're a follower of Jesus and be baptized if you haven't already. So understand then what we're trying to say this morning. When you join our church, we are saying that you are saved. We're saying you are a follower of Jesus. We're saying that to the best we understand it, this person, this member is turning from their sin and trusting Christ as their Savior, which is why I meet with every person who wants to join or be baptized to make sure they at least understand the gospel and they can make a profession of faith. Remember, if you join, I as your pastor and all the other members in this church, when they vote for you at that moment and they raise their hand, what you are saying is that person is a follower of Jesus Christ. They are repenting of their sins and they are trusting in Christ alone as their Savior. That's what you're saying. Did you know that? It's not like, okay, you can be a part of our club now. It's not like just, oh, this means you're one of us and woohoo, throw a party. Well, we should throw a party. But what we're saying, bigger, deeper, something more is at work. We are saying this person has been born again. They have been saved by the blood of Jesus. They are on Team Jesus. They are living for Him. They are working for Him. And they're going to join us and we're going to help other people come to know Him. And we're going to help each other follow Jesus. That's what you're doing when you vote for that person. I wonder if you know that. See, baptism is huge for a Baptist church. And this idea of bringing members into our church is huge. I don't think we understand that like we used to. It's really a big deal. Oh yeah, little children and others who are not professing believers. An atheist could come to our worship service. We would love for them to come. A Buddhist could come to our worship service. We would love for them to come. They may gather with us. They can attend here. They can participate in different ways. But we don't bring them into membership. And we don't let them partake of the Lord's table unless they repent of their sins and profess faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. It's very popular in this day and time to only emphasize being part of the church. What's important, people say, is that I'm a part of the universal church. I'm a follower of Jesus, and as long as I got Jesus, I'm good. I don't have to be a part of a local church. I like Jesus, but you know what? I don't like the church anyway. Jesus is just all right with me, but not His people. Whew, they're hard to deal with. In fact, George Barna wrote this: being in a right relationship with God and His people is what matters. The core issue isn't whether or not one is involved in the local church, but whether or not one is connected to the body of believers in the pursuit of godliness and worship. You see, it's not about church. It's about the church. Whether a Christian is immersed in, minimally involved in, or completely disassociated from a local church is irrelevant to me. What matters is not whom you associate with, in other words, a local church, but who you are. Well, I would say to George, it may not matter to you, but I think it matters to Jesus. And folks, I get George Barna writes a lot of good things. He does a great job with surveys and polls, but those particular words are from the pit of hell. It's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. And unfortunately, people believe that. One poll showed that only 17% of adults, this is 10 years old data, that a person's faith is meant to be developed mainly by involvement in a local church. And even one-third of all born-again, conservative, Bible-believing Christians, those of our tribe, agree that you actually need to be a part of a local church to grow in Christ. Friends, that's wrong. And the reason is very simple. Membership in a local church is a way to testify that you are a member of the universal church. I mean, how else would you? I suppose you could wear a Christian t-shirt, hang Christian paraphernalia in your office. You could go around and tell people you're a Christian. You could listen to Christian music. You can talk a lot about Christianity and Christ. You could do that, and you should probably do that. But a local church is the arena where the reality of your membership in the universal, bigger church is really put to the test. As one man said, it's easy to talk in glowing terms about the invisible church, the body of all believers near and far, living and dead. But it's the visible, local church that God expects you to live out your faith. Friends, I said this a few weeks ago. It's easy to say you love the church without loving a church. And it's easy to say you love a church without loving the actual people in that, people with names and lives. It's easy to say it. It's harder to do it. But I don't know a better way to say this, so I'll just say it. Membership and involvement in a local church helps you put your money where your mouth is. It does. Being involved with a local church helps you discern your own spiritual condition because it gives you all sorts of opportunities to practice your faith. You see, the marks of a true Christian are things like forgiving other people and loving others and serving others and sharing Jesus and hating sin and so on. And you can do those outside of a church. I know you can and you should. But I ask you this question. Is an unbeliever ever going to look at you and say to you, I think this is sin in your life. I don't see the marks of the Spirit in you. Or I think this is growth in your life. I do see the fruit of the Spirit in you. I see how you're growing in Christ in wonderful ways. The way you treated that person was really good. The way you're teaching the Bible is really good. Or they will never say to you, let me share you what Jesus has taught me. An unbeliever will never do that for you. You need local believers, people, flesh and blood, like Jesus, who came incarnate, not far removed from His people, but lived among us and died among us. You need those people in your life, saying to you, I see this in you. I see God at work in you. Or I don't see Him in you. At some point, you need someone to say, you know what? The way you do life and the way you're doing things, it looks like you're playing on Team Jesus. It really looks good. But you also need someone to tell you, you know what? If I wasn't mistaken here, you keep intercepting the ball every time we throw it. You keep tackling your own teammates. You keep running and scoring touchdowns for the other team. You know what? I know you're wearing a jersey that says Team Jesus, but if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't look like you're playing for Team Jesus. There are a lot of believers out there who live such lifestyles that call that into question. They need someone who would stand up and lovingly say, you need to think about this for a moment. That's what your local church is meant to do. Your local church is meant to help you follow Christ and to help you know whether you are authentic in the faith. Without them, can you really know? See, what I often say is our faith in Christ is a personal thing. Listen, no one can save you for you. No one can make a decision for Jesus for you. No one can believe for you. No one can repent for you. You can't get into the kingdom of God and be saved because your mom and dad are Christians. No one can do that for you. It's personal. You have to do this. You have to follow Jesus. You have to decide. You have to choose Christ. It's yours. But it's not private. It's not private. It's personal, but not private. It's not you and Jesus. It's public. If I'm not mistaken, Jesus said things like that. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me and my words, then I won't be ashamed of you. Friends, what I'm saying to you and what I've tried to say to you for the last 4 weeks, and I'm going to say over the next few weeks, is the local church is a bigger deal than you think it is. And this local church is a bigger deal than you think it is. And I don't think church members understand just what's happening when you gather and when we gather. We don't understand what we have. And you can see why sometimes. Sometimes the music's off, or it's not like you want it. Sometimes the preacher is very boring. He has an off day, or a lot of off days. Sometimes people hurt you. Sometimes it's just not that exciting. And it's week in and week out. But we have to see by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. What does the Bible say about the church? Don't trust your gut. Don't trust your eyes. Trust your ears. What does the Bible say? What do you hear God saying? That's what I want us to focus on. So this morning, I just want to ask you a couple of questions as we finish. Have you committed yourself to Jesus Christ? Have you received Him, the life, death, and resurrection, all that He is, wholeheartedly into your soul with everything you got? Have you done that? Not perfect. That's not what we're saying. Have you received this Jesus? And then, if you have you been baptized? Have you been baptized to tell the world, I'm on Team Jesus. I'm a part of the church. Have you done that? And if you have you joined? Have you joined a local church? This church, another church. And are you involved in that local church? Are you participating in the life and lives of the congregation of that local church? Friends, I want to invite you to do all of those things. And if you have done all of those things, or are doing all of those things, just encouraging you, good job. Way to go, God. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your involvement. Keep up the good work. You're doing what God wants you to do. Keep going. Press on. Don't grow weary. And always be open to growing and getting better. And I want to help you get better. I want to get better. That's why we're talking about membership and what it means to be a member over the next couple of weeks. Let's pray. Lord, we